When someone does something that we would never do, skydive, bungee jump, attend a Justin Bieber concert, any of the above, we look at them and we either say or we think to ourselves that they are crazy, right? Like we use that word to describe people doing things and, you know, attending like things or being a part of the stuff or thinking in ways that we would never think or we would never do or attending things that we would never go to. We say that that person is crazy. What we're going to talk about throughout this series that begins today is something that many people will initially go, they live like that? You do that? That's crazy. But it's something I think all of us want to be. It is a way that all of us want to live. And it is something that Jesus said is the path to a happier life. What we're going to be talking about throughout this series is how we can live generously. I want to welcome all of our churches that are joining us today. Excuse me, I got emotional right there. No, I didn't, but I choked on what I ate right before I walked up here. I want to welcome all of our churches that are joining us today, everybody over in the West Auditorium, parent viewing rooms, patios, all of our network churches. So glad that you're with us. Grab that outline out of your program. I want to invite you to take some notes. And as we jump into, really today is this introduction idea. It's still there. Excuse me. And I know that's you shouldn't eat something right before you walk up here. That's just how it goes. Let's see if that does the trick. All right, let's keep trying here. All right, grab that outline out, and I want you to take some notes. Here's the first thing I want us to jump right into, right in your outline up front. Generosity, the truth is, it is not natural and it is not normal. It is something that we all would like to think we are, but most of us are not. It's not natural or normal. Just think about a child. What is every child's one of their first favorite words? Mine, right? Like you try to get them to share with another three-year-old and they are kicking and screaming and fighting and crying. And we would like to think as adults we are so much more evolved and mature and sophisticated. But what I've learned about myself as an adult and what I've learned as a pastor is that adults have to be taught to be generous. It's something all of us would like to think that we are, but most of us are not. Now, I know just the fact that I would say most of us are not, we usually immediately go on the defensive, right? Whenever somebody says we're not something, what do? We think of the one time we did that thing and we hold on to that and go, no, see, I am that. Just because we do it one time doesn't mean we are. I mean, husbands, we do this a lot, or at least I do. Let's say, you know, your wife says, hey, you know, it'd really be great if you'd help out around the house more. And how do I respond back? I look at her and I'm like, don't you remember May of 2004? Like, I emptied the dishwasher back in 04. Like, I help out all the time around here. And that's what people do, right? Like, you could go talk to the meanest person in your office. I mean, the person that they're just rude and nasty and mean. Think of who that is at your place of work right now. And if you can't think of who that is, it's you. I'm sorry, but like, glad you're here. No, but think about that. You could go to the meanest person in your office and go, you know what? Like you're mean and nasty to everyone. Like you contribute to a really unhealthy environment. And what are they immediately going to do? They're going to get defensive and think of the one time they were kind to somebody, you know, back in 1988 and go like, no, and they've held on to that as their identity. We all do that. Here's the truth. Generosity is not natural and normal. It is something that has to be taught. It is something that has to be learned. And that's why we're going to be talking about it in this series. This is a subject that we do not shy away from around here. And I know for some of you, you're like, oh, great. They're talking about money, you know? Like, wouldn't you know, James, this is the week I brought a friend, and now you're talking about money. You're welcome. But yeah, we're talking about it. Here's why, because it's a spiritual issue. And there is a way to live freely when it comes to that. And so throughout this series, that's what we're going to be talking about, because generosity is not natural and normal. And sadly, what is natural and normal in our culture, you can write this down, is actually crazy. What is normal for most people when it comes to the way that they live with money, it is actually crazy the way people live. And I'm going to give you a little formula that if you're going to, you know, zone out and you're kind of like, you know, that's what I thought, churches are talking about money. Let me just tell you, this is not about us trying to get something from you in this series. All right, this is not the churches in financial problem. We better do a generosity series. This is so much bigger than that. Generosity is a way of living with everything that we have and all that we are. And it's not just about giving. And so we're going to, if you stick this out through the series, you're obviously going to get that. But this is not us trying to get something from you. This is us wanting something for you. All right, the church is doing fine. We can pay our own bills. We're not laying any staff off. We're good. This is about us living in a way that leads towards freedom. Because the way most people live is crazy. And what I'm going to share with you just right here in the next 60 seconds, if you zone out on everything else, I'm going to say, get this, because it's something that I learned 19 years ago at the start of my marriage. Some of you are like, you've been married 19 years? Yes, we were 14, we got married, so don't judge. Pretty much my entire adult life, because I got married in my early 20s, my entire adult life, I've lived what I'm about to share with you. And if you have been around here before, you've heard me share this for years. And so, it's a path, it's a way of living that is very different, that seems crazy. Because unfortunately, in our culture, what's normal is crazy. And what seems crazy to people is actually the better way to live. And so let me just give you this. And if you hear nothing else today, hear the next 60 seconds. Normal money management, the way most people live, which is the reason that people can't be generous, is they spend first, they get the paycheck, hey, that's what I got to live on. And then if there happens to be anything left over, they save second. And then if they ever happen to have anything left over after that or get around to it, they're give and they're generous to other people in their life or organizations. And so that's the way most people live. Here's the problem with living that way. You never get around to saving and you never get around to giving. It leaves you no margin to be prepared for the future and it leaves you no margin to be generous because you just keep spending whatever you make. And so even people that have the best of intentions, we live in a culture, and here's the crazy thing, this is what's normal in American Western culture. We even spend more than we make. We buy things on credit that the moment we take possession of them, they go down in value and our cost goes up because we bought it with interest on an interest loan. That's crazy. Yet in our culture, that's just normal. That's just kind of what you do. But there is a better way of living that somebody taught me because it's not natural. This did not come natural to me, but this is something that I was taught, and it's a way of living that I've trained myself to live in. And now I can tell you, on the other side of 19 years of living the way that I'm about to tell you right here, there is freedom. There is preparation for the future. It's a totally different way to live. And so the crazy money management that I'm just going to give you real quick, and then later in the series we're gonna get into it a little deeper, is to do this. Here's crazy money management. And this is the way that I've lived for 19 years of my adult life. Is here's what you do. You flip the script. You turn it upside down. You give first. You decide, hey, here's how much, and here's where I'm going to be generous to. And you decide that. And you go, I'm going to be generous first, I'm going to save second, I'm going to pay myself to plan for the future, and then this is what I have to live on, and I don't spend more than I make. And I get it, that in culture, that's crazy. But you look at that, and you know it's a better way to live. But people see it, and I agree with you. It is indeed crazy. A friend of mine, I was talking to him about this series that we're starting. He's a member of our church, and I was telling him what we're going to be talking about, and he was like, oh my gosh. He goes, yeah, people think it's crazy when you live this way. About 7 years ago, he told me, he went to meet with a financial planner, and this is a guy that he's lived disciplined and has good habits and when it comes to how he handles his money, and he wanted to start preparing a little better for his kids when they were going to be in college, and so he went to meet with this financial planner, kind of took his budget spreadsheet that he already had and lives on, and he went and sat down with the financial planner, and the financial planner is looking at how he already spends his money, and he gets to the top, and he's like, financial planner looks at him, he's like, what is a tithe? What is this? And he's like, that's a tithe, and he's like, oh, I've heard of such a thing. And he's like, looks at it, and he looks at the amount of money that my friend gives, he's like, so let me get this straight. You give 10% of your income, on the gross over the top to the church that you attend? And he's like, I've heard of this, but I've never actually met anyone in my life who actually does it. It's like, this is amazing. He's like, why? And he looks at my friend. He's like, if you don't mind me asking, why in the world would you do that? And my friend is like, well, first of all, you know, we follow Jesus. We want to be obedient and give back to him because we believe everything we have, he's given to us. And we believe in the mission of the community that we're a part of. And so it's just kind of part of our worship. That's what we do. And then he goes down here and he's like, oh, I see you guys already pay and you pay yourself. And you kind of give another 10% paying yourself and for savings. And he looks back at my friend and he just says, hey, I just got to tell you. He goes, I've been doing this for almost 30 years. I've never met anyone who actually does what you do. And he goes, if all my clients would simply do, just even if they're not like a Christian like you, if they would just pay themselves 10%, none of them would have financial problems. And he just looked at my friend. He's like, I can't believe you actually do this. This is crazy. And sadly, what should be the way to live in our culture seems crazy. And what is actually crazy is normal. And so I want to invite you to go on a journey with us over the next several weeks where we're going to look at how can we get a little crazy and live this way Jesus says is a better way to live and actually a path to a happier life. And again, this is not us trying to get something from you. This is us wanting something for you. Because here's the truth. You can just relax. I can't make any of you do anything, all right? Like, because let's just be honest with each other. Most of you don't do half the stuff I talk about around here anyway, right? Like, let's just have a moment of honesty. You come in, you hear, you're like, oh, that sounds good, but I'm not living that way, right? Like, so I can't make you do anything, so just relax. Nobody's trying to get anything from you, but I do want something for you. And so to help us in this path of living, we're gonna walk through a path, kind of a formula, if you will, every week of this series, where here's what we're going to look at. It's the 4 points on your outline today. And every week, we're going to have some new content under this idea. And it's going to be on the screen. Here's what we're going to talk about. Every week, we're going to start by talking about God's generosity, who God really is. What is God really like? And then we're going to move to, okay, if that's who God is and that's what God is like, how does God want us to live? What is our proper response? And then we're going to talk about, well, what keeps us from that? Because probably most of us want to live that way. But what is it that holds us back? And we're going to talk about that. And then every week, we're going to end by giving you some practical tools of go, all right, how do we change? Like, how do we actually live the way that we want? How do we be the people that we really want to be? So let's jump in and get started by talking about God's generosity. Now, all of you smart English major, kind of grammar nerd people out there, you're going to love this. Here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about right now, if the entire Bible were a sentence, if you could kind of put the whole Bible into one sentence, right? What would be the subject of that one sentence? Person, place, thing, subject, right? Like a noun. What would be the subject of the entire Bible? Just somebody kind of, you know, yell something out. The subject of the Bible, person, place, or thing. God, I heard somebody say that would probably be the subject of the Bible, right? Because actually the first four words of the Bible are in the beginning God. Pretty good book. You should probably read it once in a while. So that's how the Bible starts. In the beginning, God. The story of the scripture, it is about God. It is about us. So the subject of the Bible, it is God. In the beginning, God. Now, if that is indeed the subject of the Bible, God, here's what I want you to think about. What would be the verb? What would be the verb of the Bible? Love. Yeah, that's exactly right. I think love would be the verb of the Bible. But we can even dig a little deeper to go, okay, what does real love look like? And the answer to that is found in arguably the most famous verse in all of the Bible. Even if you're not a Bible person, you know this verse if you're an NFL person. Because it shows up on, like, you know, cardboard in the end zones when people kick field goals. It is John 3:16-17. Here's what it says. For this is how God, say that next word out loud, loved the world. Underline, circle, loved. So this is how God loved the world. Well, how? The next two words, underline them, circle them. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. So we could say the subject of the Bible is God. The verb of the Bible is love, but let's keep digging deeper. What is the essence of love? The essence of love is this. It is to give without condition. That is the essence of love. To give without condition. Now consider, what is the opposite of that? Lust. Lust is to get or take without condition. Love is incredibly generous. Lust Let me get or take what I want, what I need from you for my own satisfaction. Lust is incredibly selfish. And so if the verb of the Bible is really love, God loved, what did he do? It's what I had you circle and underline. He gave. So really we could say this, the verb of the Bible, write this down, is give. That's the story of Scripture. From beginning to end, God loved, and so because he loved, what did he do? He gave. He gave his one and only son, Jesus. It's what we remember and celebrate at Easter, that Jesus took the sin of the world, our sin, your sin, mine, upon himself so that everybody could be reconnected back to God and redeemed. God gave us not only the guarantee of a new life in him and forgiveness now, but he gives us the hope of eternal life forever connected to him. He gives us his Holy Spirit, God's presence at work here in our world and in the lives of those who believe, to empower us and enable us to do what we could never do of ourselves. God, he just gives and he gives. Why? Because he loves. And Jesus talked about God in ways that no one at that time had ever really thought of. And Jesus, the number one way he talked about God was this. He said that God is a generous, good, heavenly Father. And so if that is who God really is, a good, generous, heavenly Father, what is our response? Number two. Well, since I gave all of you English major, kind of grammar nerds, something in the last point, let me give all you math majors. Anybody, you were like math major, engineer, kind of, you know, chemistry, math science person, hold your hands up. All right, all of you have real jobs that make more money than the rest of us. That's awesome. Those of you that got that general studies degree, not so much. So all of you like engineer, math, chemistry kind of people, this one's going to be for you. Now, shockingly, I was not a math major. I know. But the good news is I did take 2 semesters of algebra in college. The bad news, it was the same class twice. That's kind of the downside of that. Didn't do so well the first time. And the reason I didn't do so well is I was really good at math up until about 7th grade when they entered letters with numbers. Like, there should not be letters with numbers. That's when I kind of fell off the math wagon there. But I do remember when it was math and they started putting, you know, letters in with it. I do remember one little equation. And the equation went like this. The equation went A equals B. And actually, I don't remember it, so let me look at my notes. B equals C. Therefore, A equals C. Some of you were like, my head's going to explode. I don't know. It's okay, just relax. Like, I have notes here. We'll get through them. If you remember that little equation, let me take you on a little math journey under this idea of what should be our response, okay? A. Let's let A be this idea. A, all of humanity is made in the image of God. That means you, that means me, that means the people sitting around you, that means everybody in your family, that means the mean person in your office. Everyone is made in the image of God. What that means is there is this imprint of a likeness of God on every human being that sets us apart from all of the other creation. This is what we find in the Genesis narrative, that God breathed life into mankind and created us into a living soul, it says. Therefore, we are different than all other animals. We're different than all other plants and things that are alive on this beautiful planet. That we have been set apart. We are not God. We are not gods. But we have a likeness of God. We have this eternal living soul. And so A is we are made in the image of God. There is a likeness of God. B, God is incredibly generous. His character, the essence of who God is. Scripture says that God doesn't just love, he is love in its purest form. And so therefore he gives. And so again, do the formula here. C, put it together. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, right? If we are made in the image of God and B, God is incredibly generous, C, how can we not be generous as well? Here's the answer, and this is why it's so hard. Sin. Because you and I are not as we were originally intended to be. And again, in the Genesis narrative that tells our history is that when sin entered ourselves through mankind's choices, which was selfishness, when sin entered, here's what it does. It separates the original design that God had, is that we would live generously and freely with everyone and everything. All of a sudden, now we live selfishly. What is natural is selfishness. What is not normal is generosity. So how do we break that cycle? Here's what it does. Generosity cuts across that kind of that nature of our flesh that says everything is about me and I have to look out for number one. And then again, this is why generosity is about being something, not doing something. Giving is something you do, and that's something all of us do. This series is so much bigger than that. Giving is kind of random acts of kindness. Generosity goes a lot deeper. And to show you that generosity goes a lot deeper than just an act that we do, let's look at Acts chapter 20. Let me give you some context for these words from the Apostle Paul. He is writing what is probably one of the most emotional pieces, sections of Scripture in the entire New Testament, because he's saying goodbye to some dear friends, some people that he loves that he probably knows he's never going to see again. And so in the midst of him saying goodbye to them, and if you read it, it's incredibly emotional. Here's what he says to them, Acts 20, 35. This is my last gift to you. This example of a way of life. Underline that little phrase. It says, the last gift I'm giving you is this way that you saw me live. A life of hard work. A life of helping the weak. A life that echoes every day those words of Jesus, our King, who said, and let's read the rest of this verse out loud together, ready, go, it is more blessed to give than receive. What the Apostle Paul is saying here, what he is quoting Jesus as saying, is that generosity, it is not a moment of time. It is so much bigger than that. In fact, generosity, here's what it is, and this should be our response. Write it down. Generosity is a way of living. Yet we see that statement from Jesus, and even if you're not a Bible or Jesus person, you know that statement. It's more blessed to give than receive. You probably didn't even know that Jesus is the one that said it, because it's just kind of become this pithy statement in our culture that people say all the time. But I think because we just kind of throw it out there, we've actually lost its meaning. When do people usually say, well, it's more blessed to give than receive? When they've seen someone give something, or like when somebody gave something but nobody gave something back, and you kind of look at that person who's standing there empty-handed, well, remember, it's more blessed to give than receive. And in that moment, you're like, no, it's kind of good to receive also, right? Like, and so, but what Jesus, we look at that statement from Jesus and we think, oh, that means to give in that moment. In that moment, it's better to give than receive. That's not what Jesus was saying. When you read it in the context of Jesus when he originally said it, and when you read it in this context, what Jesus was saying there is more blessed, happier is the person who lives a life that gives rather than a life who just receives. Happier is the person who lives a generous life, blessing other people, than making everything in their life about themselves. That's a way of living. That is not a single moment in time. That is not a single transaction. And so generosity is so much more. And here's the truth. I think all of us want to live generously. I mean, even if you're not a Jesus person or a Bible person, and we were to sit down and have a conversation, most people aren't going to go, no, I kind of want to make life all about me. Like, a better way to live is just, you know, make it all about me and forget everybody else and step on everybody else and do what I need to do to get what I need. Like, that's the, like, most people at the heart of it don't want to live that way. And so generosity is something I think most of us, we want to live in, but the problem is, here's the problem, and it's why I hope you'll come back for all the next several weeks, is most of us have never been taught how to do it. And again, most of us, we know how to give. That is the single moment in time transaction. And most of us give when at some level we're persuaded to do so. When we find out about a need, or we go to something and somebody inspires us and they show us pictures of sad children that need something, and you know, or they guilt us into it. And so most giving follows somebody having to motivate you and inspire you or guilt you into it. True generosity transcends inspiration and guilt, because it's a way of living that people have ordered their life around generosity. And why I hope you'll come back is, to live that way, you have to train. You have to be taught, because it's not natural. It's not normal. And again, most of us want to live that way. But why don't we? What hinders us? Number three, what is the biggest hindrance from us living the way that we want to? Well, write this down. I think it's because many of us believe generosity is determined by cash flow. We think that, man, only rich people can be generous, right? Like, Like, well, maybe, and someday, like, or maybe we go, at the beginning of the month, I can be generous, because that's when I get paid and I have a little something, but I can't really be generous any other time. Or if you are like a high school, older high school student, you know, maybe a senior, and you have a job, you're college age, you're in your 20s, I'm glad you're here, because you have a chance to do some things at the beginning of your adult life that a lot of us here probably wish we would have done at the beginning of adult life. So I hope you'll keep coming, because you have a chance to kind of set yourself up. And parents, I hope you'll get your, you know, like high school age children to be here during this series. Here's why. Because if your kids will do what we're going to talk about for the next 4 weeks, they'll be able to take care of you when you're old. And that's why you should make sure that they're here, all right? Because some of you, you're like, that's the only plan I got left, you know? I hope juniors got it together, because, woo, I need it, right? Like, so it's like, seriously, if you're young and you're in your 20s, like, dude, you got a chance to do some things that a lot of us haven't, and to kind of be ahead and not have to figure it out later and look back and regret, like, man, I wish I would have started doing this 20 years ago. So I hope that you'll kind of hang with us, but don't believe the lie when you're in your 20s, when you're kind of in that first job, that you're like, well, I'll start being generous someday when I make more money. I mean, right now I can barely do it, because that's not how life works. You don't just, you know, rich people aren't generous. Here's the truth. Rich people are rich. Generous people are generous. You can be rich and stingy and selfish. You can be poor and stingy and selfish. You can be rich and live an incredibly generous lifestyle to other people. And you can be poor and live an incredibly generous lifestyle to other people. Here's why, because this is the great news for most of us. When it comes to generosity, the amount is not what counts. Let me say that again. When it comes to generosity, it's not the amount that counts. And that's good news, because we can all live generously, but culturally we get this so wrong. And one of the ways that feeds into our wrong way of thinking that, like, well, generosity is determined by cash flow, and only when I have more zeros on the end can I be generous. That is a lie. And one of the things that feeds into that is regularly in culture, you'll see some celebrity or kind of, you know, CEO of a company that makes a large sum of money donation to some charitable organization. And it'll get advertised and say, wow, so-and-so celebrity or CEO gave $1.3 million to such and such charity. What a generous gift. And everybody's like, wow, that person is so generous. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Because the only person that knows if that gift was generous is the person that gave it. Because generosity is not determined by the number of zeros on the end. Because that person that gave 1.3, you could look at percentage of what they have, and that could be significantly less than a person that would give $200 to that very same charity. And so the only person that can know if something is generous is the person who actually gives it. Because generosity is not about the zeros on the end. It is about the sacrifice and the heart. Jesus told an incredible story about this that I want to invite you to read. It's not in your notes, but write down Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21 is this story that Jesus told, and if you're a Bible church person, you probably know it. It's known as the widow's mite. And Jesus is observing the way people would give at the temple in Jerusalem. And think of it kind of like they had giving boxes by the doors like we do at all of our churches. And Jesus is with his friends, and they're kind of watching. And these really, really rich, wealthy people would come up with kind of these big coffs of money, coins. And they would kind of drop it into the giving box, making a lot of noise and making sure everybody saw, look at all the zeros on the end of this baby. And the rest of the people watching were kind of like, wow, look how generous those rich people are. And then without anybody noticing, this widow walks up and she puts in equivalently what would probably be like 2 cents, 2 pennies. And Jesus basically says to his circle, his friends, the generous person today was her. Not them. Because it is not about the amount of zeros, it is about the heart, and it is about the sacrifice. And that is such good news, because it means we can all be generous. You can live generously whether you have a lot or whether you have a little. It doesn't matter. And again, this is a way of living that we can all participate in, and it's a way of living that, as you're going to see throughout this series, Jesus says leads to a happier life. Blessed is the person, happier is the person that lives giving generously rather than making life all about themselves. And so how do we get there? Number four, how do we change? Well, the first thing we have to do is just kind of own the facts of our own life. We have to really take an honest look at ourselves and say, am I living generously or am I living selfishly? Is everything in life all about me first, or have I set up my life in a way that includes others? And the truth is, like, our life is a summation of our habits, routines, and ways of thinking. And the good news is your habits, routines, and ways of thinking can change. But you know what it takes? It takes training. You don't drift into good habits, right? Like, you're not naturally just going to drift into generosity one day. That just all of a sudden, you know, your life's going to change, and you're like, whoa, all of a sudden now, you're not going to drift into saving money, right? Like, I don't drift into skinny. I don't. I drift to fat. That's what I drift to. When I train is when I'm skinny, which means I'm not training right now. But that's the truth. Like, if you've been around here, I've been on staff for going on 14 years now, you've seen small, medium, and large versions of myself. Because I don't drift to skinny. When I train, I'm skinny. Like, when I'm disciplined, when I'm following the routines, when I change my habits. And so the good news is, when it comes to generosity, any of us can do it, but it's going to take training. And probably a little more than just once a week over the next 4 weeks. And that's why I'm so excited about this series, is because we want to help you train. We want to help you experience what in Scripture is talked about as this reciprocal way of living. That generosity has this reciprocal effect to it. That when you give, something comes back to you. Jesus talked about it. You're blessed. You're happier. And I know it sounds counterintuitive. When you give, when you live generously, then when you build the life all about you and on yourself. This is also, this reciprocal nature of generosity is also talked about in the wisdom of Proverbs. Look at the last verse on your outline. Proverbs 11:25. Can we read that together out loud? All churches, ready, begin. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And again, doesn't that sound counterintuitive? Well, wait, the way I'm blessed, the way I'm refreshed, the way, instead of feeling drained all the time, is to actually bless and refresh other people? That there's this reciprocal life-giving nature to living generously toward other people. And again, I know it sounds counterintuitive, but here's what I'll tell you in my own life experience, living this way for 19 years, it's true. And if you could sit down with a lot of people around you, because there's a lot of generous people in this church, and generosity, what I mean is not a lot of rich people, but a lot of generous people. A lot of people who have centered their life around living in such a way that says, I'm going to build my life not just about me, but those of us that are Jesus followers, I'm going to actually build my life around this thing called the kingdom of God and the principles that Jesus invites us to walk in. And what you experience is that it's a happier, it is, blessed is the person who lives this way. And so here's my invitation. This is my challenge as we kick off this series, okay? My challenge as we begin this series and how we change, how is it we can all change? Write this down. We all get a little crazy. That's my invitation to you. Would you get a little crazy with us during this series? And you need to decide what that looks like for you. But really the challenge is this: would you be willing to do some things you've never done to experience some benefits and results that you've never experienced? Do something you knew you've never done to get something you've never had. Let's all get a little crazy. And we're going to lead the way in getting a little crazy as a church, all right? I want you to figure out what those little crazy steps are for you every week and every day of this series. And we want to help you. And so we're going to lead the way by getting crazy and being generous towards you every single week of the series. One of the things that we're going to do is every week of this series, we're going to give you something. We're going to give something away. Sometimes it's going to be a resource. Sometimes it's just going to be a gift. Sometimes it'll be something fun. But this week, week number one of the series, we want to give every family one of these books. So we bought these for everyone at all of our churches. It's called What Happens When You Give. And this is your homework this week. What I want to ask everybody to do, husband, wife, you can do it together, is take 5 minutes a day, probably even 3 would be enough. And if you read a chapter of this a day, you can do it in 3 minutes. And here's why, because you know this, in physical fitness, is working out once a week going to help bring any change? Not really. And so don't just show up here on Sunday. We're going to go on this four-week journey of going, how can we live? Let's train to be generous, because generosity is one of our top seven values around here. That we've said for years, we want to be a community of Jesus followers that are always growing in generosity, because we believe it reflects the heart of the God that we serve. And so this is our gift to you. At all of our churches, when you leave, no matter what door you walk out of, no matter which way you exit the property where you are, there are tables all over our churches where you can pick these up. So every family, pick one of these up. Do some training this week. This is our gift to you this week. The other crazy thing that we're going to do collectively as a network of churches is I didn't think we could do a series called Crazy Like Us and not do things we've never done. Because I'm challenging you, do some things you've never done. Get a little crazy. And so here's what we're doing, and we're leading the way as a church during the series, is we are going to give away, in addition to what we give away, which collectively is hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, we are going to give away 10% of all of our general tithe and offering that comes in to local charities. And we're just going to walk in the door to some places that we know are doing some good work for some people in need in all the cities where our churches are, and we're just going to bless them with some checks. And so that's us going, you know what? We're just going to lead the way in being crazy. And we're just going to give away part of what comes in during this entire series, on top of the additional money that we already have committed and that we serve our communities and we serve all around the world. And so we're going to lead the way. So my invitation to you, what can you do to get a little crazy?